Feeling bad about sin is good. The great thing about the grace of Jesus Christ is we don't have to stay trapped in our sin or depressed over our sin. There is forgiveness and grace that's sufficient for it. Confess it, repent, and walk in the freedom of the forgiveness of Christ.
Hey Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Jake Each, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Morning, Jake.
Is that like a time when this music, after you say that, I'm like, dun, 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 you know?
There's music that comes in right at the beginning. Anyways, we're just about done with 2 Corinthians, right?
Well, one more left.
One more. So next week, 2 Corinthians, and then we've got a couple weeks of a worship series.
Five weeks. Okay. And just having a better, fuller biblical understanding of worship.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then after that, for our summer, what are we jumping into?
It's a series called Sweeter Than Honey, where we got a lot of different preachers that have the opportunity to just bring a passage that's really impacted them personally and
Sweet.
Look at that text together.
Kind of like a best hits. Like, what's your favorite
go-to?
Yeah,
it's our Veritas mixtape, I guess, for the
– Matthew's preaching Colossians 3, right?
Certainly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Got to be. That's fantastic. So I actually had a couple of people stop by, which I love this. Had a couple of people stop by the bookstore yesterday. They're like, hey, I know we're getting to the end of 2 Corinthians. What's next? Are there books? Yeah, we'll have some books that'll go along with the worship series. Mm-hmm. Sweeter Than Honey will probably have some other things, but since it's not like we're walking through a book of the Bible.
And that one's really just about fostering a love for God's word. So any books that teach you how to read scripture and to get into and to enjoy God's word for yourself better, that would be super helpful in that time.
Yeah, sweet. And then in the fall, we are jumping into what book study?
The book of Daniel.
We're going to jump into Daniel. Just the first seven chapters, right?
No, we're doing them all.
The whole thing.
All the weird ones and everything.
I love it. That's great. Well, Jake, this has been sweet to march through 2 Corinthians this year. And actually had – I think we might have set a record yesterday. We had three listener questions come in. So we're going to get to those here at the end of this. But as we were walking through yesterday, you know, we're in verses 5 through 10 and just that reality of Jesus professing people should examine themselves for Jesus following actions within a Jesus following community. And just walking through that text, and you gave those five indicators of Christ being in you: morality, purpose, joy, compassion, and submission. Mm-hmm. Super sweet. So as always in the podcast, if you were to include something else in your message or expand on anything you preached, what would that have been?
Yeah. I feel like this question was added to encourage me not to go over all the time. Like, hey, we can have more time on Monday.
That might be the primary purpose. I don't know.
I think that – I mean, anytime you have 5 points, those could have been 5 messages.
Yeah.
So to take more time in each one of those categories or indicators.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you can expand and go a lot of other places in scripture to jump off and say like, and we see this here and here and here. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, absolutely. So plenty of other things to expand on.
Sure.
So thank you for not –
I still went over.
Yeah, that's okay. Anyways, I love that just seeing here that the clear call for self-examination, which fully get, it's in line with the rest of scripture. Mm-hmm. What do you think are some like good rhythms and practices? Not just to be like, all right, well, every now and then when my Bible reading plan makes that clear, what's some ongoing rhythms that would be helpful for self-examination?
Well, I think the clearest one Paul gives us is communion. Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, he says you ought to examine yourself. So that should be a regular, built-in self-examination. Am I still following Jesus Christ? Because in 1 Corinthians 11, when he calls them to do that, they're celebrating the Lord's Supper in a way that's not honoring to the Lord. So he's like, you better look at yourselves. Your life and what you're professing is not lining up. So the same application every time we take communion, we look at ourselves. Is my life and what I'm professing to be a follower of Jesus Christ lining up? So that is the built-in rhythm for a believer to do self-examination.
Yeah. Another one I'd tag on too, even just the way that we administer baptism. Say every single baptism service, it's a reminder, like this last time when we were kind of – we have a meeting before each service with the people being baptized and those baptizing. And the thing I said was just like the callback to really what we're doing in baptism is stacking stones in the Old Testament. Mm. You see, like we're making a mark. It's like every time we see this, we're going to remember what God did.
Yeah.
And just like I think for us following Christ, it's when we see people making that declaration, sure, proclamation, it's like, oh yeah, I'm reminded of how sweet that was for me and how true that still is today.
Yeah, Romans 6. I mean, we're to recall our baptism and to our own fight for godliness. So
yeah. So obviously there's a couple of things that we have built in like corporately where every Sunday when we're taking communion, we have baptism services. What about just for people that are like, all right, I want a system – like
yeah,
what would be kind of just a personal practice of self-examination?
Well, it, being a part of a church, we have surveys that we're working on to send out to ask some pointed questions to help people assess themselves, being in community to ask those questions. I think the system given to us is the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
And then within a faith community, there's going to be different things. I think what you pointed out with baptism is a good reminder. But the situation that Paul was writing in was he's just called them to it.
Yeah.
And I think we need to be called to it. And that's part of being in a faith community where it's like, all right, let's take some inventory here.
I like the application question where, you know, ask yourself this, but then ask somebody else, like kind of the point of within a Jesus following community. And just made me think of like other places where we're reading and we're confronted with scripture or convicted by the Holy Spirit, to not just like sit in that yourself, but to invite others in that, like, hey, I was convicted of this. Do you see like what, like in sharing that with other people, I think would be helpful
for
similar
sure.
application here. So sweet. Third question. So you touched on this in the kind of like, hey, you might be hearing this examination and you're quick to beat yourself up. And then the other end of like, you might be hearing this and you're like, I got it figured out. I've arrived. Mm-hmm. Like both of those are ditches. Just want to kind of focus in on somebody that is prone to examine themselves and then like fall into beating themselves up or maybe constantly living in fear or doubt of their faith. Like how would you encourage somebody in that's their reaction when they begin to examine themselves?
I think the human tendency is to jump in and try to encourage. I want to be cautious to not undermine the conviction of the Spirit. It could be you're feeling like crap because you should feel like crap.
Sure.
And biblically, that's contrition.
Yeah.
Brokenness is a good thing. We should grieve over our sin. So I don't want to be too quick to try to alleviate that.
Yeah.
Because that may be working against what God is doing in somebody's life, bringing sure. conviction. So feeling bad about sin is good.
Yep.
Now, once you feel bad about sin, then you don't stay in it. I'm reminded of in Nehemiah when they found the book of the law and they realized they weren't following it and they tore their clothes and wept. And the leaders had to say, no, this is a good day. It's not a good day that we were not following the law. It's a good day that we're bothered by not following the law. So that's when they said, eat the fat portions. Let's feast. Let's celebrate this. So the great thing about the grace of Jesus Christ is we don't have to stay, trapped in our sin or depressed over our sin. There is forgiveness and grace that's sufficient for it. So if you're feeling like crap because of your self-assessment, maybe you should. Maybe right. there's some things that need to be dealt with. Identify those, turn to Jesus Christ, confess them, repent, and then walk in freedom out from that.
Yeah.
And then, like we said, get community into it because some people just they have higher, maybe harder on themselves, where they might be like, "Hey, you're not doing as bad as you think." That you need some outside perspective on that, and to be patient. Even the examples of spiritual growth as fruit comes in seasons. Yeah. So it's over time and patience. But it should be there.
Yeah.
I think if somebody was feeling bad, I'd first want to know, like, well, do you have good reasons to feel bad?
Right.
Should you feel bad? Now, the good news of the gospel is you don't have to stay feeling bad. Mm-hmm. Confess it, repent, and walk in the freedom of,
right,
of the forgiveness of Christ.
I think some of the question too, though, is that like when you're in Christ, like you mentioned yesterday, like Paul continued to struggle with sin. Like the goal isn't perfection.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not that like I'm frustrated, I'm still a sinner. Like, yeah, you're at once in Christ, you're justified. You are both sinner and saint.
Yeah.
The goal isn't to just be okay with sin, but it's unrealistic to be like you can never not sin.
Right.
That's not good theology.
Yeah.
Until Jesus comes back or we go home.
Right. Put it to death.
Right.
That's we should drag it into the light, confess it, put it to death. But also let your own sin be a worship leader. I look at Romans 7 where Paul's struggling with it. I do things I don't want to do.
Yep.
I don't do the things I should do. Well, you get to the end of that chapter. He's like, who will set me free from this body of sin and death? Thanks be to God for Christ Jesus in whom we have victory. So there's a sense where if you just stay depressed about your sin, you're just continuing to think about yourself.
Yeah.
And at some point, you have to take your eyes off your own sin and failure and put them on Jesus and his success. So your sin can lead you to do that, and your sin can help you be a greater worshiper of Jesus because
right.
it shows your need of him, it stirs a hunger for him. You just got to turn from your sin to him.
Yeah. So that's one of the things we talked about this last week with like Lamentations, like the point of lamenting,
yeah.
like lament psalms, mm-hmm. is to command your emotions with truth
yeah.
and turn them to God in worship and praise, not just to stay feeling bad about yourself.
Yeah, or to stay feeling bad about things you should feel bad about, because a lot of those lament psalms come to a point where there's a phrase, but God, or I
right.
will rejoice.
Right.
So you have to minister to yourself with truth.
Yeah.
What is true? What has God done? What he's accomplished? And self-reflection is about looking at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to discover areas that we need to repent. That's the point. Self-reflection has to eventually get off yourself
right.
and get to Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Another interesting thing, I can't remember what series this was in, but just talking about like, if there is past sin that has been confessed and repented of, but then there's this like accusation, like sin that has been confessed and repented of, and then if you feel like there is this like you're still feeling bad about it, like that's a reality of like that's confessed sin.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've repented of that. That's an accusation of like tempter. Like that's
yeah.
that's a scheme of the devil to try to get you to feel bad. Like mm-hmm. that has been paid for. But if it's unconfessed sin that you're feeling bad about, that's from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's good. So, yeah. Sweet. All right. Listener questions. We'll try to kind of give these. There's a couple that I think you're going to be able to answer pretty quickly and some that might have a little bit more. So, first question here was just initially you had a big idea, but then you tagged on within a Jesus-following community after explaining that first part. And the question is, wouldn't doing that outside of that Jesus-following community be a great witness to unbelievers? Can you share how it would be different within Jesus-following community as compared to outside of that community? Like, why was it important to include within a Jesus-following community in your big idea?
Because I think that's what Paul's asking the Corinthians to do. So is the question, should we assess our own devotion to Christ with unbelievers?
I think it's more of like, isn't that an opportunity to witness? Like, isn't there
sure.
a benefit to outside?
Certainly, community? I think, I mean, just the authenticity of if you have an unbelieving friend who knows that you're a follower of Christ and you openly confess of like, hey, I haven't represented Jesus well in my life and, you know, I haven't been the best witness to you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes, great opportunity to witness.
Yeah.
So I would certainly say that's a good thing to do. I just think when it comes to assessing our own devotion to Christ, doing it with other people that are devoted to Christ for accountability is helpful. It's what Paul's calling them to
right.
do. In 1 Corinthians 5, he's saying, what business do we have judging outsiders? But we should judge those inside the church. So there's a shared value and standard and authority of God's word that we hold each other accountable to. So assessing our devotion with other people that share that devotion is helpful.
Yeah.
But I think the heart of the question, I would guess, is could it be a powerful witness to confess where we've fallen short to people that have seen us that – we don't line up with what we profess to them. That's it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Because I mean, you even look at the indicators of Christ in you: morality, purpose, joy, compassion, submission. Wouldn't you want others that, like, I mean, how are other people going to know that we're Christians? They'll know each other by our love. Like, they'll know each other also. They'll know us by these things. Like, these are Christian standards. So absolutely, there is an opportunity for that to witness out. But what you're saying is, point of the text is, I think at one point, you know, went back to, starting in verse 5, examine yourselves. It was like, y'all examine y'all. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys examine yourselves. Yeah. Not like you, but you all together examine you all.
Because some of the – we didn't get into this, but some of the critique of that community that he addressed in 1 Corinthians is there was – Paul calls them out because someone in your church is sleeping with their mother-in-law.
Right.
And you all celebrate it.
Right.
So the critique wasn't just the sexual immorality sin of an individual, but a community that didn't have a problem with it.
Right.
So he's calling, like, you shouldn't do that. And everyone else, you should have a problem with that.
Right.
So I think within the faith community, there's things like, hey, we all should have a problem with that. And we should address it.
So main question, adding within a Jesus following community was because that was more the point of the text, the call is for within community, examine your Christ-following actions because you are a Christ.
Hold each other accountable.
Yeah. Yeah. Sweet. Another question here. So basically, just saying that this listener says, person, member in our church, I struggle with seeing the fullness of joy in Christ as modeled by Paul in the passage in our lives. And just asking, like, what next steps or scripture advice would you give? He's saying, I have a tough time growing my intellectual knowledge of God into joyful peace. Mm. So an intellectual knowledge and awareness and passion for the Lord, but then joyful obedience lagging behind that. What's suggestions or
intellectual knowledge or growing in our knowledge of God is extremely important. It's how we get to know the nature and character of God, but it has to go deeper than just knowing something. So I think of Ephesians 3 where Paul in a prayer says that that you would know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Mm. And we referenced yesterday on the biblical word to know is this experiential know. Because even in Ephesians, like, well, how do you know something that surpasses knowledge? He's like, I want you to experience it. I want you to know it in a life-applied way. So then you go to John 15 where Jesus is talking about that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Well, that's connected to abiding, being connected to Christ in your relationship. Well, what is abiding in that text? Well, it's obedience, that you'd obey my commands. So I think staying in white, hot, passionate pursuit of Christ, his word, obedience is tethered to promises of joy in the text. Now, it's not a joy of like, I just wake up and I'm chipper and anyway, life's hard and there's struggles.
Yeah.
But a biblical joy is like this rootedness. Mm-hmm. Like I'm built on a rock. So yeah, it was a hard day and I'm okay. Right? So I might press into like, what do you mean by joy? Are you wanting joy, but you're really talking about surface level happiness?
Yeah. Well, he said joyful obedience.
Joyful obedience. He has trouble.
So maybe there's awareness of what to do and even obedience, but it's just like, I don't feel like my obedience is joyful.
Oh, yeah. I think that joyful obedience is a result of training. So think of it this way. If you ask me to go run 5 miles right now, That would be bad. That would not go well. I wouldn't enjoy it. It would be hard. I don't know if I could. Like, yeah. I'm not in shape to do that.
Yeah.
But you talk to people who run a lot, mm-hmm. and they're just like, I love going on my run. I missed my run. If I didn't get my run, like, they actually – well, you have to be in a certain level of shape to go out and enjoy the work of running. I think the same thing. There is a spiritual shape. Like, I'm not – I'm struggling in my obedience. It's hard work. It often feels like somebody who's out of shape who's trying to run. Mm-hmm. And then there's people who are more in spiritual shape. It's like, oh, you have your rhythms and you're built in, and it's like, I enjoy it. I don't want to miss my time in the Word. I don't want to, you know, do anything that hurts my relationship with God. It expresses a spiritual shape that I think mm-hmm. you get to a point where it's like, I just enjoy God's presence more. And I don't think people get there overnight, but sometimes the expectation is, I did the right thing. Why didn't I enjoy it more? And it's like, that's your first week in the gym. Like, keep at it.
Yeah.
And God is faithful and true, and He will supply the joy. His promises are true. Abide in Him. Mm. Stay at it. That's why Paul talks so much about endurance.
Yeah.
Just keep going. Keep doing the right thing. And you do it on faith because you know where it leads.
Yeah.
And Christ's promises are true. Joy is coming.
I think another thing too, just talking about like a knowledge where, you know, we often talk about application mm-hmm. being more than information, but transformation. And just that, like, is what you know leading you to pray? Mm. Like, am I praying for more of this, or am I praying to understand the depths of whatever? Like, I know scripture, but is it leading me to pray? Is it drawing me back to reflect on God's character? Like, I just think some of that, the follow up, the so what of not just like, I know a truth.
Yeah.
And some of that might just be more people are black and white, and it's like, all right, I know this to be true. But when you understand something, you can continue to dwell on that, and that can lead you into other areas within your abiding.
Yeah. So as far as next steps, that as without knowing the individual and their circumstances, I'd want to say, if you're doing what you're called to do, keep doing it.
Yeah.
Like, stay the course. You'll develop a spiritual shape where you'll enjoy, you know, taste and see the Lord is good. You keep at it. Often, I'm not saying it's the case with this question, I don't know the person, but often if it's like you press in and it's like, well, what is your church attendance like? What is your participation in worship? What
are
is
you your distracted?
Reading, Bible reading like? What is your prayer life like? Is there areas of unconfessed sin? And you start to dig and be like, oh, maybe you're not doing the things you're called to do in that.
Sure.
So do a self-examination.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
See if you're in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know that Christ Jesus is in you? If He's in you, He brings joy. So if you're doing the right things, stay the course. Do a self-examine. If you're not, repent.
Yeah. Good. All right. Third one here. What can we do, if anything, to show we care for people that we have not been given authority over, just as Paul was given authority over the Corinthians? So a little bit more of the, like, Paul clearly cares for them. Mm-hmm. He's going to great lengths, a lot of the, like, defending authority and his responsibility to them. So I think just basically, like, how can we show care to people that we're not over authority, but just as, like, demonstrating faith or the love of Christ?
Paul had a care for them. He's the one that brought them the gospel. He felt responsible for their spiritual development, and he was an apostle, so that was an authority given to him. Yep. But care and authority don't always have to go together. I would say the way to express care, and I'm assuming when they mean care, they're meaning in the context we talked about at Sunday, like, I care for this person's holiness.
Yeah.
Is to ask questions. And a brother or sister in Christ doesn't necessarily have authority, but yet we're called to sharpen one another, to spur one another on, to rebuke one another, mm-hmm. and to encourage one another. So you don't have to have authority to be a sharpening tool. Like we're in a work dynamic where in an org chart, I'm over you as an employee and a boss, but yep. as a brother in Christ, you would come to me and be like, "Hey, Jake, you were kind of off in that meeting the way you talked, and I got to listen to you who's saying true things from the Word of God." So I think
right.
caring for one another is not dependent on authority. The authority is the Word of God. And right. if you're coming to me with the Word of God, like it's not Sam, it's God's Word, and
right.
Sam's the vessel for that. So, but asking questions, how are you doing? I've noticed this. Are you okay? Pressing in is a great way to express care.
Yeah, good. Okay, last one here. So this listener says somebody's been bringing a friend to church and has been receptive to the good news of the gospel. And this listener says, "I feel led to present the opportunity to her to accept Jesus Christ as her Savior. Can you give me the words to share with her that she can pray, or is it just simple as, I'm a sinner, I need Jesus, please be my Savior?"
Yeah. You know, there's no example in Scripture where somebody prays a prayer to become a Christian. But people are called to follow and put their faith in Jesus Christ.
Yep.
So, yes, call the person. Do you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Do you understand who he is and what it means? I think presenting them a call to follow or to express their faith and commitment, find out where they're at. Where are you at with Jesus Christ? What do you believe this? Do yeah. you want to be his follower? Asking those pointed questions is helpful. But there's not necessarily like, okay, say this,
right.
and then you're in. There are questions that sometimes I'll ask to assess their understanding. You know, the kind of a classic question that is, if you were to die and go to heaven, they said, why should we let you in? How would you answer that? Because if it's, you know, if you start going into your own credentials,
yeah.
You're missing the gospel. But if it's because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, okay, it shows an understanding. So maybe if somebody expresses their desire to follow Christ, to follow up with questions about, do you get who he is and mm-hmm. what he's done? And do you place your faith in him? So asking questions.
Yeah. And I would say examine Scripture too. I mean, go to like read Ephesians 2:1-10 and ask, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
Like where if you were to put yourself in a category, would you say you're dead in your trespasses and sins? Or would you say, no, God has made me alive in Christ?
Yeah.
Where are you at?
And sometimes in a gospel presentation, we make it just about believing something.
Yep.
But Christ calls people to follow him and says, count the cost.
Yep.
Take up your cross and do this. So not only to have conversations about, do you believe in Jesus and that he died on the – that you're a sinner, that he died on the cross, that his grace is sufficient for
yep.
you, but actually – do you want to follow him? Like, do you want to see him as not just your Savior, but your King?
Yeah. Is he going to be Lord of your life?
Yeah. And a transformed heart says yes to that. So present those questions.
Yeah. It's like the disciples, like, where else will we go? Like, you have the words of, like,
yeah.
like, now that I know this, what am I going to
yeah,
do?
Of
like,
course.
Of course,
yeah.
I'm not going to turn back.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow you.
For sure.
Yeah, that's sweet. Awesome. Well,
questions.
Hey, we set a record today. Most listener questions. Love it. Keep writing those in. Again, if you've got a question you want us to address on this podcast, you can send it through the form linked in the digital program or in the connection group question email. And again, big idea for yesterday, Jake, Jesus professing people should examine themselves for Jesus following actions within a Jesus following community. Would that be true of us, church? All for God's glory. Join us again next week for another episode of Beyond the Message. Thank you.